I maybe did play just a little bit too much.
Born and raised in South.
Oh, Judas Priest!
You won't hear us playing Judas Priest, but you will be hearing an entertaining sports show with myself, Frank, and David the Man of God Harris on WSUT's After Further Review, airing Saturdays 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and throughout the week with our replay 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. on Toledo's only alternative in your on-campus radio station, 88.3 WXUT.
Born and raised in South.
Oh, Judas Priest!
After Further Review, as this is one of Frank's favorite songs.
Do not listen to him. He is selling you snake oil.
We don't sell snake oil, but we provide an entertaining and thought-provoking sports show on 88.3 WXUT. Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And sometimes we provide a life lesson. Ain't that right, Frank?
Life lesson my ass.
Don't be a hater. And tune in to AFR Saturday mornings 11 to 1 on WXUT. Fula. It's early this morning here on 88.3 WCT's After Further Review, and it's a cold one, but guess what? We got Toledo Blades' very own Toledo Rockets beat writer, Brian Bucky. I know he's been back for a while, and he woke up in Mobile, Alabama, with 70-degree weather, and then I think a couple days later, during Christmas, comes back home, and guess what? It's about 5 degrees. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Derek, how's it going?
Not too bad. Once again, cold outside. Next week, it'll be cold as well. I think currently the temperature right now as we're taping the show is probably like 8 degrees. you just think of warmer days. But you know what? Weather like this makes you kind of cherish the summertime. Actually, it's 13. Sorry, it is 13, but we'll have a high of 17. So anyway, we got Brian Bucky on the phone lines here, and the thing we're probably going to talk about a little bit is basically the big question of last week. What happened? That did not look like the Toledo Rockets football team that we've seen all season. Heck, it didn't even look like the Toledo Rockets football team we've seen the past two seasons, getting beat by Appalachian State 34-0. It looks like they took it really personal. I mean, they had signs out there saying the Fun Belt is better than the MAC, and it looked like they had a chip on their shoulder as the Rockets have been shut out for the first time since 2009 when they played the Ohio State Buckeyes up at Cleveland Brown Stadium. And actually, I was an undergrad back then and working with the student television station, and we actually sent people out there for that game. That was actually kind of crazy. But Brian, you are a front and center, and like I mentioned, you know, the question is, what happened?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, they didn't show up. They got down early, and really, when you look at it, basically nothing went right. You can't really point to anything that they did well, or kind of anything that broke their way, or they're in Appalachian State territory maybe one time, and then they had to punt. And so it was just a complete domination, you know, in all phases. And I'm not sure if Toledo thought they, you know, deserved a better bowl game and didn't want to be there. I don't know. It's hard to say. It's kind of hard to really explain how bad it was and what exactly happened.
What was the reaction of Jason Candle and Logan Woodside after the game?
Well, Woodside was obviously, he was pretty upset after the game. You know, just being a, you know, fifth year senior and doing all that he had at Toledo and having that kind of game, you know, 3 interceptions, I think, in the final game of his career, he was obviously, you know, pretty down. And as far as Candle, he was obviously disappointed too, but he was able to kind of take the questions, you know, head on and kind of took responsibility for it. And I think he knew that kind of nothing went right for him. And I guess when you think about it, no, it's not the end of the world for them. They still had a great season. They, you know, 11 wins. MAC championship first since 2004. So it was a dud to end the year, but it was still a successful year altogether.
Do you think, I'm just personally asking you, did Appalachian State, did it seem to you, because some people I talked to say it seemed like maybe they had kind of a chip on their shoulder, because early on, when after the Rockets had won, it came out that some of them thought maybe we could have got a better bowl game. They thought they were disrespected. Why are we playing Appalachian State again? Now, I didn't take that as maybe a disrespect to Appalachian State, just a matter of in years you don't play a team twice in bowl games. And they thought maybe they, you know, let's face it, I mean, the Dollar General Bowl I don't think is one of the top bowls for a lot of the MAC teams if you're the big dog. But maybe, I guess, you know, Appalachian State maybe did take that as, you know, a shot at them. Do you think that was the case? Because they came out there and they looked like they were really hungry.
Yeah, I think they definitely came out hungry. I mean, I think sometimes we forget that, you know, Appalachian State beat Toledo last year even. And, you know, I think this Appalachian State team looked even better than last season. And I think they did hear about, you know, Toledo, you know, wanting a better bowl game and people thinking they deserved a better bowl game. I think they definitely used that as motivation. They came out strong. Their defense was really good. And it just seemed like they wanted it more, you know, right out of the gate. And then once they, you know, got ahead, maybe Cleta got a little bit shell-shocked, or they kind of pressed and tried to do too much, maybe a little bit. But even hearing from Appalachian State fans, I think they felt like they were, you know, a little bit disrespected by the whole, you know, Toledo deserved better kind of thing.
And then what happened? The question is, where was Terry Swanson? I mean, I guess it shows you in college football how hard it is to basically, I would say, win 13 or 12 to 14 games in a college season, especially with 18 to, you know, 22-year-olds. Because in years past, obviously, we would always try to be picked as the MAC champion. We come up short, but it's all seemed like, okay, we didn't get to the MAC championship, but we got the bowl game. And it's important for people to get to the bowl game, but it was almost like that last resort where, you know, let's get this win since we didn't get the MAC championship. And you've seen guys that were still hungry to win, but it almost seemed like they accomplished something that hasn't been accomplished for a long time, and the bowl was just extra. People were saying, well, it's just an exhibition game. So 1 year, for some fans, it's just an exhibition game, and then the next year, it's like, well, yeah, we got to win this. It's almost like their championship. Do you think that kind of played into it where, you know, it shows you how tough it is to be basically mentally prepared week in and week out to get 12 to 14 wins for a college football team?
Yeah, I think that's definitely hard. I mean, the two Toledo teams that have done it had to, you know, have an undefeated season back in the 70s. And, yeah, like you said, coming off that MAC title, I mean, you can't help but kind of, you know, take a breather or relax a little bit. I know they had weeks, you know, before the bowl game, but it's still a pretty big, you know, rush or a pretty big high once you win that MAC title game. That's what you've been talking about all year. That's what you prepared for all off season. That's what, you know, you navigated through the schedule and got to that point where, you know, you made that MAC title game and you got that win. So, yeah, there can be probably a little bit of a letdown mentally. Maybe you're not as focused in practices leading up to the bowl game, and I think that definitely showed.
Now, some people were kind of retarded. When I say retarded, we're kind of horrible on the social media saying, we can't believe we signed this guy to a 6-year extension, talking about Jason Candle, even though because of that one bad performance. I mean, the whole, you know, body of work was great, but they're trying to say that, you know, because of that, of that happening. But let's talk about Logan Woodside. Where are they going to rank him as the all-time great Rockets? I know Chuck Ealy, people will say that he's number one because he was undefeated with all those Rockets teams. But is Woodside going to probably be two or three, maybe ahead of Gronkowski? Because, I mean, wow, this guy had a heck of a career here.
Yeah, I would think he has to be two or three. I mean, statistically, he's the best quarterback to play at Toledo. And Yeah, I think winning that MAC championship kind of took him up a notch a little bit. So I'd have him either, like you said, 2 or 3, depending on, you know, where Gronkowski is ranked. I think can't really argue with what Chuck Ealy did during his career. So it would take a lot to pass Chuck Ealy. But yeah, and then it's second, third range probably for Woodside outside.
No, wow, that's pretty crazy. Now, one thing that UT got, I guess, good out of this is Cody Thompson. He can be able to return. Now, is it because of them going to the MAC tournament championship game and winning, then getting the bowl game, that helped him get to the medical red shirt that he needed enough games to play? How much good news and how are they accepting it that Cody Thompson's actually coming back?
Yeah, it's huge news. I mean, obviously, we've seen what he can do, you know, when he's on the field, when he's healthy. He had that, you know, season last year when he set the single season record for receiving yards for Toledo. It'll be interesting to see how he does with the new quarterback. You know, obviously he's, you know, he's great friends with Logan, and they had a really good, you know, connection on the field. So it'll be interesting to see what he does with the new quarterback, but the Toledo receiving group, I mean, it's going to be scary again next season with him and Deontay Johnson and John Bay Johnson. And then, you know, guys like Danzel McKinley-Lewis and Desmond Phillips still there. So just adds another weapon for next year. And I think he was excited to get back. I think he wanted that extra time, you know, to get back healthy, to be on the field, and to kind of, you know, maybe reestablish his draft stock a little bit after the injury.
Did he look like he was going to be an NFL pro scout before the injury? I was just curious. I mean, I was looking at it, but it was so early in the season. Usually, yeah, a lot of times by the end of the season, that's when they start, you know, inviting you to, you know, senior bowls and stuff like that. But were there some people saying, okay, you could be possibly drafted or come in as an undrafted free agent?
Well, I think with each week, his stock was only rising. I mean, he was over 100 yards in every game, in all four of the first games of the season. And I'm not sure if he would have been where he would have been on draft boards, but I would think he'd be, you know, kind of a late round pick, maybe a free agent signing somewhere in there. But with the injury, obviously that kind of all takes a backseat, and you have to kind of factor in, you know, rehab time and when he'd be able to get back, and he might not be able to do the combine, and he misses out on all the Senior Bowl stuff, like you mentioned. So I think he chose to kind of make the full recovery with his leg and get back on the field, have another, you know, year with Toledo, and kind of reestablish that draft stock.
Yeah, I mean, he, for a player like him out of a small conference, you need every advantage you can get and every look you can get. Also, it was early signing period during kind of that time. Was that also kind of a distraction as well? I mean, it is kind of strange. It's a month ahead, and some people were even saying that this is a pointless signing period because you're only pushing it back 6 weeks, basically. Do you think also preparing for a bowl game, trying to get recruits signed, you know, they're still sending their, you know, NLIs through fax machine, which it still boggles my mind. You talk to a kid on Twitter and they still have to send it in a line. That means national letter of intent through a fax machine, as we got Brian Bucket from the Toledo Blade here on After Further Review. Do you think they kind of played a part too while trying to prepare for the bowl game?
I think it could have for the coaches at least. I mean, it's just one more thing on their plate when they're trying to put together a game plan for the bowl game. And obviously you have to be paying attention to who's actually signing in the early signing period, who you have kind of locked in. So yeah, I think that could have been a distraction a little bit for the coaching staff. Just kind of having to deal with that, and it's just one more thing on your plate as you get ready for the bowl game.
So now we'll move a little bit now that football season's over. Once again, another great season. Now, when it gets cold and we're about to get in from the new year into January, we talk a little basketball. And the men's basketball team, they actually play Penn on Friday, December 29th. And then they opening up their conference play Tuesday against Buffalo on the road at Buffalo. And then they have Akron at home Friday, January 5th. That should be an interesting one when now John Groves, the head coach of Akron, not Keith Danbright anymore, comes into town. And then that following Tuesday, they also have Western Michigan at home. Right now, as we speak, as we record this, they've won two in a row. They're 7-5. Willie Jackson now joined the team after sitting out that first basically half of the season, so to speak. What have you thought about this Rockets basketball team? There's some people, you know, teetering like, well, why is it that this Rockets team's only 7-5? One minute they look really good, and the next minute it looks like they play down to their competition or they don't bring it. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think they've been a little inconsistent at times. They started off the season so well with, you know, that home win against St. Joseph's, and then they beat a good Oakland team. But, you know, they had some kind of, obviously the Syracuse and Kansas games, those were obviously tough. But, they got absolutely crushed by Kansas. But that's expected, though.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, that's expected.
Syracuse, yeah. But then again, Eastern Michigan really gave it to Syracuse at Syracuse a couple days ago. So, I mean, you know, I guess you could say it's expected. But then again, you still should be able to compete. I think some people are upset about the back-to-back losses to Marshall and Wright State. I think you can give a pass to when you play a power conference team. When you're playing other mid-majors and you're trying to, you know, measure yourself among the mid-majors, I think the Wright State and the Marshall losses were, especially the Marshall loss where they were up.
Yeah, those are the games that can't really afford to lose, those kind of games when you're up big late in the game and you try and blow the lead. So, and those are games that last year they kind of lost those as well, those types of games, and that kind of came back to haunt them. But still early, it's a non-conference season, and they bounced back with two wins. Not against great teams, but they did win on the road at Cleveland State. So, they get one more test at 10, which is today. That'll be a tough game. It looks like 10's got a pretty good record. I think they're like 9-4. And then they have a tough start, like you mentioned, in MAC play at Buffalo, one of the favorites in the East preseason. And then, you know, Akron with a new coach, but they still have some talent. And then Western Michigan, who was picked to win the MAC West. So it's a tough start to conference season, and we'll kind of get a better gauge of, you know, kind of where they're at as far as that's concerned.
So then now it's kind of crazy. We'll switch over to the women this Sunday, right before the New Year, actually on New Year's Eve. The women play in conference play against Ohio. Then they come back Wednesday, January 3rd against Akron, go on the road against Eastern Michigan Saturday, January 6th. And then Wednesday, January 10th, they're back home against Ohio. Now, they're 9-3 so far. Haven't really been home. Not really Rocket fans been able to see them. I believe they only had like three or four home games between November and December. But what have you thought so far of the Rockets women's team? The little bit have you been able to see?
Yeah, I think they've looked good. They're a very good defensive team. They're deep. They play a lot of players. Kayla McIntyre's really stepped up and kind of established herself as kind of the go-to player for Toledo, you know, especially down low. And they have a lot of talent. And I think there's no reason they shouldn't compete for the MAC championship this season. I know Central Michigan's really tough in their division. They also won the regular season last year, but I think they have a good chance to kind of set themselves up well for the conference tournament with a good regular season in the conference.
Now, are you hearing from some other beat writers that maybe possibly they could win the MAC, I guess the MAC regular season title, but also the MAC tournament title again?
I think they definitely could. It's not going to be easy. I mean, it's a little different when you come back as defending champions, and you have to kind of go through the whole, you know, it's a long season and anything can happen. I mean, they were the sixth seed in the MAC tournament last year, so they kind of saw that, you know, it's all about who's playing well at the end of the year during that tournament in Cleveland. So I think they'll they'll definitely threaten for a regular season title, I would think, if things go right. And, yeah, they have a chance to be another really good team and have a really good season this year.
Oh, Brian Bucky from the Toledo Blade is always bringing us the good stuff. What do you got planned for the New Year's?
Nothing really. Yeah, just kind of probably hanging out with family on New Year's and then getting ready for basketball season to get in full gear here. Kind of weird that football's over now, but yeah, it should be good with basketball season.
Doesn't your schedule kind of slow down now a little bit because football's over? Because, you know, basketball and football do intertwine with each other. But once football's over, it seems like you kind of just concentrate strictly on basketball.
Yeah, it definitely slows down. It gets busy with, you know, football and basketball, and you're not really able to, you know, concentrate on both. Sometimes, you know, basketball gets lost a little bit, especially when I had to travel to Mobile. So it'll be nice to get back, kind of focused on basketball and get that going.
All right. Well, thanks, Brian, for calling in, man. And you have a good Happy New Year, man.
All right. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Brian. That was Brian Bucky there, the Toledo Blade, Toledo Rocket Sports beat writer, giving you all the information about Toledo Rocket Sports, football, basketball, men and women. And sometimes, you know, he'll sprinkle in a little bit of baseball. And he also does other articles as well with the Toledo Blade. Coming up next, though, we got more here on 88.3 WSUT's After Further Review. But if you want to listen to this podcast, we'll post it on our Twitter. Make sure you check out Brian Bucky's Twitter and our Twitter. And once again, it's always on SoundCloud at WSUT's After Further Review or on iTunes with After Further Review. When we return, we'll have some stuff from David the Man that Got Harris and everyone's favorite, Frank Vassner. We'll be back after this on 88.3 WSUT's After Further Review.